And so they're going to this village called Emmaus. It says it's 60 furlongs away, or 60 stadia. And a stadia is an eighth of a mile. Okay. Does that sound familiar? Stadium. Stadium. You know what a stadium was? It had a track that was an eighth of a mile long. Eighth of a Roman mile. And so if you went from one Roman stadium to another, they would, that was the length. It was a regular track. That's like most schools have. And what is it? Four times. I'm trying to remember what that is. That's a quarter of a mile, isn't it? Is it a quarter of a mile around a regular track today? I think so. But they're all the same length in that matter. And that's what they did with the Roman stadiums. This was not for this is not the hippodrome. This wasn't the horse track. This was where they ran and had their contests, the Olympiad of the Greeks. And so what are they doing as they walk? And you see in verse 14 in chapter 24. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. The word talk is an odd word, because it only occurs four times. We have some derivatives. And it's interesting when it says they talked, they were talking. They just couldn't shut up. You know, when you're in an event where things drive your adrenaline, it's kind of hard for some people to slow down and let a word stop and catch their breath. This is an imperfect tense verb. And the idea of talk, I have one of the lexicons translates it converse. This was an intimate kind of conversing, more intense than just normal speech. And so they were talking in company with. They had a common thing. In other words, when they talked, they didn't know that anybody else had walked by or they'd walked by anything. They were intent in their discussion. They were focused, to use another word, concerning all these things. They were reliving it over and over and over. Can you imagine trying to relive Calvary? Were these guys at the cross? And eyewitnesses to that, they very well may have been. And the impressions made upon them, but they felt they had something very much in common. And so they, concerning these things which had occurred. Interesting. And the reason when it says occurred, it has a soon in front of it. It's soon. But the soon in front of it gives you the idea that they may have been involved in all parts of it, because they were in that group of followers with the disciples. And so it had occurred. It's a completed action. They're talking about it. What did I see it this way? Did you get this? Did you understand this? Did you hear him say, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? Or did you hear him, Eli, Eli, lama? No, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. You may remember he did it in English, yes. In Aramaic and in Greek. Or Hebrew, pardon me. Let's get it right. And so they were comparing notes as those who were participants close to the scene of it all. Now in verse 15. And it came to pass, it came to be, it came into being at a point in time that while they were communed, and the word communed is that same word that is translated talked in 14, while they were talking together, they were in this close discussion. And then notice the word that the AV says in reason. The word reason is the idea of trying to put together something. They're trying to seek the truth. The word has the idea as a root of my inner linear says to discuss. It's an infinitive construct, but it's the word for seek with assume. They are seeking the facts to put the picture together. They were confused. They didn't know. They were trying to work it out together. And so here they were dealing with this great problem that related to their faith. We saw him die, and now we hear he's raised. And they're arm wrestling with this whole thing. And then in verse 15, it says, and it came to be while they were communing and seeking out this togetherness, Jesus himself drew near. Intent. Sounds like that meeting of the women. He intended to be there. Had he been walking along in the back of them, or did he just appear and catch up with them? He came near. I have a funny feeling that he just appeared. They wouldn't have heard his footsteps anyway because they were concentrating. And so he falls in step with them, and it says, journeying together with them. Another soon word. He joins their trip. And it gives me the idea that probably it was more intimate than it was before, because it's got three people down this road. If you read history of the route from Jaffa to Jerusalem back in the 1800s, it's amazing, because there was a day you couldn't even do any more than ride a donkey between those two places. You could not ride a wagon because the road was so bad. And it's just part of the interesting history. You know, all of these wonderful European Christians, quote unquote, were come to the Holy Land, to come to the holy city of Jerusalem. And they'd arrive at Jaffa, Jaffo, whatever you want to handle that one. They would arrive there. And then they practically had to walk to Jerusalem, which was a dirty, dirty, crummy city. And they had a terrible time getting there. It was abhorrent, if you want to know what the city of Jerusalem was. So the Arabs had not taken care of it. They didn't take care of much of anything. And you had sewer in the streets. You had garbage running in the streets. It was full of bugs and, you know, flies and a royal mess. I read stories of those who came in and they tried to ignore all that, and they had to put something in their stories about how bad that city was. Abandoned, as it were, the one Arab city. And so he joins up with them and journeyed with them, and he says, but their eyes were holden that they full experiential knowledge. I'm having fun to adjust when Luke likes epikonosko. And so what happens? There was this power that kept him from seeing who he really was. I think the power was inside their heads. It wasn't that they went blind. It was just that they could not discern. That's who it was. They didn't have the power. Yes, he probably was in a different form. We're going to talk about some of these post-resurrection appearances. You know, some of the fun things, you know. Like in the end here, when I touched on it, here they're reporting all of a sudden he's right in the middle of them. You know, it's no wonder they were a little spooked when he came. And, but so he's there speaking with them. Their eyes, they're incapable of understanding. They could not fully experientially know him. Let alone oy to him. They didn't even get that. And then in verse 17, what does it say? And he said unto them, what manner of, I'm reading King James, communications are these that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And are sad. Holy Spirit chose in Luke's vocabulary an interesting word to say sad. So what he's actually saying, the word communications does take up space, but it's the word Lord, this word, logos. What are your words? Logoi is plural. So what are the words which you are bantering back and forth? It says have. The verb is more fun than that. It's antibalo. And it has the idea, balo means to throw. Anti has the idea of throw it back and forth. It's like they're trying to play catch with this whole concept, the concepts they're working on. And then one throws it and the other one catches it, and then he puts a spin on it, throws it back. That's the idea here. It's a lot more fun than the way it's simply translated. These things they're talking about, they're throwing back and forth at each other as you walk. But he says, and they stood sad-faced. He looked at him and he said, you guys need to carry a mourner's bench with you because you are sad-faced. Now, this word sad is not just the idea of a sadness at a loss. This word for sad has the idea of sadness because they are confused about the whole thing. It has the idea they're troubled and sad. They're anxious and sad. It's not our normal word for anxiety. But there are so many question marks that they're sad ones. And he reads it and he's saying, you guys, you've got problems. Why are you standing here this way? Well, set up number one, ask them that question. That almost set loose a flood. And guess who jumps in for the flood when we look at it? The response of Cleopas. You know, you're down in the mouth. You're dejected. And he says, comes jumping in and says, then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? You know, really kind of the idea, the only stranger. Man, you've been in Jerusalem. You don't know what's going on. You've been sleeping all the time. I mean, it's just the inference is, you know, this is this rough edge of somebody who is perplexed and saddened. And so that's what he says. He throws in this one word, monos, monoplane is a one-wing plane. Didn't make any difference because we don't see many biplanes anymore, but that's that word. And he said, you alone, a stranger in Jerusalem? Were you just on your way through? You didn't know what was going on? And hast not known, didn't even have experiential knowledge of the things which have come to pass there that came to happen in those days? And how did the Lord answer? He did it. He does this really well. I've often thought it would be fun to do a series out of the Gospels in how the Lord answers questions with questions. And that's what he does here. He says, what things? And so, boom, he's opening it up for them. And they said unto him, I think what happens, Cleopas is up front. And then next thing you know, when he says what things, then they join in and they try to outspeak the other to give him the information. But they agreed in this. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was, or who was, or who became a prophet. Uses the second aorist middle, he became or was a man, a prophet. You don't have the word man in there in the AV. And how does he describe? Powerful in work and word before God. He had inherent power in word and work. What is interesting, I mean, I did it backwards, in word, work and work. Christ did signs which pointed to who he was and demonstrated his power. He also did powers, which are translated miracles. But these guys knew, had they been at the feeding of the 5,000, had they been at the feeding of the 4,000, had they been among the crowd who crossed the Sea of Galilee or went around the Sea of Galilee and found Jesus on the other side, had they witnessed the resurrection of the son of the widow of Nain, had they seen all of these miracles, and they start with his works, and his works prove his words to them. You see the conundrum they faced? A man who could do all of these miracles, I don't know, I don't want to speculate, but What did they know about the resurrection or resuscitation of Lazarus? If he could raise Lazarus from the dead, why couldn't he come and flee? It may have been part of the dilemma. We don't have that argument. In fact, there are a couple of things we don't have. We don't have the words of their argument, and we don't have Christ's exposition of the scripture concerning himself. Which one would you rather have? You bet. You'd love to have that dissertation. Nobody took dictation when he was walking along and expositing the scripture. And what happens? Whoops, I've got to turn page. Oh, I got to explain something here, too. So he said, are you a stranger? And he says, what things? Now, in your outline, if you're following my outline, I didn't get back to it. I struggled. I swung back and forth and back and forth. You'll notice my letters are off. It goes from D to A. Originally at A, I had to set up a box. And that box was down to the end of this part of the message. Because this deals with their side of the discussion. And so that's why my letters are off. You see, my outlines, let me just throw the middle page of mine out. See, there's a box around my outline that should have been there. I just trying to make it format, and I didn't do it. Or you would have that box in your outline. You have to do it special ways to make your columns. And so what happens in 19, he says, what things? And then he said concerning him and who they saw his reputation. They believe the signs. They believe the miracles. And then it goes on and how the chief priests, now don't forget who the chief priests were. These were not just a top echelon of priests. These included all the retired high priests, which often were for a year or two. These were the top chiefs of the Israelites because there were so many priests as time went on. They jockeyed for power and they set up a little, it's a very interesting study. And our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and to have crucified him. They are to blame and they took away our Messiah. How do I know? Look at verse 21. But we hoped. Now, if you make notes in your Bible, change that from trusted to hope. It's elpizo, which is a word for hope. We hope that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. Ooh, Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. The Redeemer of Israel. These guys must have had a good familiarity with a certain prophet that I love to read and study. That prophet's name was Isaiah. And Isaiah would talk about the redemption of Israel over and over. And then one who would redeem Israel would be the anointed one who's called Messiah. And so they, as Jews, were anticipating a Jewish kingdom. And their king was slain. It's funny, they didn't blame the Romans here. They said their own people did it, yet the Romans permitted it. And beside all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. Ooh. Third day. It's interesting, it's third day. You're not for it. And it's the Jewish calendar. And in verse 22, he comes in and they say, yea, and certain women from our company made us astonished. Astonished. Whoa! The gesture didn't work. You know what the word astonished means? To be struck by amazement and to stand away from. I mean, to jump back. Whoa! You can just about see the gesture that went on here. And we were astonished. And It's just an interesting word because it's from his day, which is to stand. And so we were astonished as these women let's get back to where I wanted to be. They made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. I wonder if they use the word vision or not. Did they just see us? We saw angels. That's the word vision is the word we saw. These angels, we know they saw two. It depends on how the counts mix and that. And so they'd seen them. And so as a result, in verse 24, they say that, and a certain of them which were with us, and we know James and John went, Peter and John went, went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but they didn't see him. So here's an empty tomb. He's gone. The angel said he's alive, and they didn't have any proof. And you say, whoa, where are we? Then he starts to speak with them. And this is our bridge to where we're going next Sunday. Then he said to them, the stranger on the road to Emmaus calls these two disciples that are frustrated, befuddled, are grieving. They don't know what's going on. The one they had hoped would be Messiah has died, and then they hear he's alive. What are we going to do about this? And he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The prophets, if these guys were looking for the Redeemer and read Isaiah, there was a prophet that had a thing or two to say about the fact that the Messiah would suffer. And yet, it's interesting, he calls them fools. Now, there are other words for fools that are harsher. But he's saying, you non-thinkers, you guys that don't know how to use your mind, it's the word, a form of the word mind, but an alpha privative involved. You're not thinking like you should be able to. You've demonstrated that you have some sense of redemption of Israel and Messiah, but you haven't put it together that he is going to be raised from the dead. And slow of heart, it means they were so affected in their hearts, their rationale, their emotions, their will. They just didn't, they were sluggish to believe all that the prophets had spoken. They'd read it, they didn't believe it. They loved certain truths of it, but they didn't believe other parts of it because when the rubber met the road, they could not fathom that this miraculous thing of such wonder could be so wonderful. And then he says in 26, ought not Messiah, I'm going to use the word Messiah here, it's Christ, the Messiah, to suffer these things and to enter his glory, into his glory. Boy, what an interesting rebuke. That's a hard-rated way to handle people who are suffering from confusion and grief. But he stops them. And they still don't know it's Jesus. They still don't know that it's, they're actually talking to the one they're grieving about and the one they're frustrated about and uncertain about. And he opens the scriptures. Now, were there that many biblical scholars traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus in that particular day? Yeah, Sunday was kind of a day of travel because it was the day after. I mean, that's their Sunday. They, you know, the Jews today even have Sunday school. They've already had their Sabbath service. And there they were going, and here comes this person who knew the Bible like nobody else. And they saw. And I cannot resist jumping a quick minute because we're going there later. He opened the scriptures and they said in 32, did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us by the way and while he opened the scriptures? They were getting truth from someone in a, you know, a special Bible study. Walking down the road, and the one who was the scriptures were about was expounding the scriptures. Think of it. Well, they didn't know it was him yet. They still have to go some more. And so we plan to pick up at this point next week. And I want to talk a little bit more about some of these things that are going on and the events that lead us up to their return to Jerusalem. I mean, it's a great, great story. And when you think about that, you know, that is our resurrected Savior that has been with them and talking to them. And they have just huge, huge privileges. And the memories they had probably were so great that they couldn't tell their grandkids about them because you couldn't fathom how you could communicate them as he had. Yet, I can just about hear him saying, Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He arose again the third day. And he was seen of witnesses. And we were witnesses. I was a witness. What a testimony. Father, may you bless us as we think in these things, as we think in this part of this journey. Well, thank you as you bless us all in Christ's name. Amen.